I would like to speak tonight on the life of Joash, who was a boy king, one who came to the throne of Judah at the age of 7. Now we'll talk a little about his history after we read a portion of scripture. I should like to turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 24 and read verses 1 and 2 and then going on from verse 15. 2 Chronicles 24, verses 1 and 2. Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Zibiah of Beersheba. And Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. Verse 15, but Jehoiada waxed old and was full of days when he died. 130 years old was he when he died. And they buried him in the city of David among the kings, because he had done good in Israel, both toward God and toward his house. Now after the death of Jehoiada came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the king. Then the king hearkened unto them, and they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers, and they served groves and idols. And wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their trespass. Yet he sent prophets to them to bring them again unto the Lord, and they testified against them, but they would not give ear. And the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada the priest, which stood above the people, and said unto them, Thus saith God, Why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord, that ye cannot prosper? Because ye have forsaken the Lord, he hath also forsaken you. And they conspired against him, and stoned him with stones, at the commandment of the king, in the court of the house of the Lord. Thus Joash the king remembered not the kindness which Jehoiada his father had done to him, but slew his son. And when he died, he said, The Lord look upon it and require it. And it came to pass at the end of the year that the host of the king of Syria came up against him, and they came to Judah and Jerusalem, and destroyed all the princes of the people from among the people, and sent all the spoil of them unto the king of Damascus. For the army of the Syrians came with a small company of men, and the Lord delivered a very great host into their hands, because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. So they executed judgment against Joash. And when they were departed from him, for they left him in great diseases, his own servants conspired against him for the blood of the sons of Jehoiada the priest, and slew him on his bed, and he died, and they buried him in the city of David, but they buried him not in the sepulchres of the kings. And these are they that conspired against him, Zabad the son of Shimeath and Ammonitus, and Jehozabad the son of Shimrith a Moabitess. Now concerning his sons, and the greatness of the burdens laid upon him, and the repairing of the house of God, behold, they are written in the story of the book of the kings, and Amaziah his son reigned in his stead. I should like then to ask the Lord's blessing. Gracious God and Father, again we come to thee through the Lord Jesus. We thank thee for giving him to be our Savior. And we pray that thou wilt help us as we spend this time of meditation on thy word. We ask our Father that thou wilt work in our lives the lessons that are here for us. We pray that thou wilt speak to each of us according to our need, for we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. In our study last night, we were speaking of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was one of the four men of whom it is said that he walked in the ways of David. There were only four of the 19 kings of Judah after Solomon of whom that is said, and there were not any of the 19 kings in the kingdom of Israel. But of these four, Jehoshaphat was the second. The first was Asa, Jehoshaphat, Hezekiah, and Josiah. Now we wish to speak about Hezekiah and Josiah in our further study, but tonight I want to speak about Joash and the king in between Joash and Hezekiah. It's a very interesting study. We'll have to go over it in a very condensed way, but I think we can see some lessons as we go along. Now, going back to Jehoshaphat, he began very well, but he ended very badly, and the final record of his life is that his works were broken. And I think that that can be taken fairly as the summary of the life of Hezekiah. His works were broken, and he ruined the good that he did by the evil alliances that he made. Among other things, his son Jehoram married Athaliah, the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. Ahab was the most wicked king that Israel ever had. It expressly says that Jezebel, his wife, stirred him up to do wickedly. And then Athaliah followed in their steps, and if anything, Athaliah was worse than they were, and yet she was the girl that Jehoram married. Well, the result was that Jehoram was turned aside completely from the ways of God, and he lived such an ungodly life that there is something said about Jehoram that has always impressed me, but of course in an adverse way. It says of Jehoram that when the time came for him to die, that he departed without being desired. I can't think of anything more dismal than this. To end your life in such a way that you depart without being desired. I've heard it said that when you stand at a graveside, you can tell the people that loved the one who was gone by the fact that they have tears in their eyes. Well, there was nobody had any tears in their eyes when Jehoram left. He departed without being desired, and nobody cared that he left. They felt that it was good riddance, as we used to say, to bad rubbish. I'm sure it was just that, because the life of Jehoram was an ungodly life, and he followed in the ways of his wife, who was a wicked woman. Now this was a boy who had a godly father, and instead of the father leading the boy in his way, the boy led his father in his way. Now that is something we were trying to look at in our study of the life of Jehoshaphat. Well, Jehoram died, and Ahaziah took his place, and then Ahaziah his son. And Ahaziah only reigned about a year when he was killed by Jehu, the son of Nimshi, who was used of God to take vengeance on the house of Ahab. And Jehu came to kill the other Jehoram, Jehoram the son of Ahab. Now, if you get mixed up, don't blame me, because the fact is that Jehoshaphat had a son named Jehoram, and Ahab had a son named Jehoram. And Jehoram of Ahab was king of Israel, and Jehoram of Jehoshaphat was king of Judah. Now, it was Jehoram of Jehoshaphat who died and departed without being desired. And his son Ahaziah took his place. Jehoram, the son of Ahab, was wounded in battle, and when he went to get rested from his wounds, Jehu, the son of Nimshi, came and killed him. But in the meantime, Ahaziah was going down to call on Jehoram of Ahab, and when Jehu found him, he killed him too. Now at that point, Athaliah, the widow of Jehoram, the mother of Ahaziah, when she saw that her son was killed, it says she destroyed all the seed royal, and she usurped the throne of Judah, and she became the queen of the reigning queen of the country. But in her effort to destroy all the seed royal, the wife of the high priest, who was a sister of Ahaziah, took Ahaziah's youngest son, Joash, who was just an infant. And she took that infant into the temple, and she and her husband kept that infant until he was 7 years old. Now Athaliah didn't know that that infant was alive. And there was a very good reason for that. And the reason was that Athaliah never went into the temple in all that 7 years. That was her downfall, in more ways than one. It was her downfall spiritually to think that she never visited the house of God for 7 years. That was bad. But what she didn't know was that while she was not visiting the house of God, God was using Jehoiada the priest and Jehoshabeath his wife to bring up this boy Joash, who was of the seed royal. She thought she had destroyed them all, but she hadn't. And that boy was being brought up, and God was fulfilling his word to David, and God was preserving a seed to David who would be the royal line that would lead on to the coming of Messiah. So God was fulfilling his covenant with David, and God was fulfilling his purposes, and this wicked woman, Athaliah, didn't know a thing about it. Well, that went on until the boy Joash was 7. And when he was 7, then Jehoiada decided, I don't know whether this is where some people get the idea that 7 is the age of accountability or not. I couldn't say that. It may be. But anyway, when he was 7, Jehoiada thought, now this is the time to bring this boy forth and to establish him as the king of Judah, and so he did. Jehoiada the priest, who was a man of God, a man that was being preserved of God, because we read here that he lived to be 130, and you know that was a special act of God in preserving his life. Jehoiada made an arrangement whereby this boy would be proclaimed king in the very court of the temple of God, and then they would make it known to Athaliah. Well, they did. They had it all arranged, and at a given time, they blew the trumpet, and they proclaimed that Joash was king. And when Athaliah heard this, she ran in shouting, "Treason, treason!" And the king said, "Take her forth out of the ranges. Get her away from the house of God. Don't kill her here, but destroy her." And judgment fell upon her outside the house of God, and she met her due reward, and she was put to death. Now this boy, Joash, was proclaimed king at the age of 7. Of course he had a mentor, he had a guide in the person of Jehoiada, who was a very godly man. He was a high priest, he was a man of faith, he was a man of courage, he was a man of wisdom, and he was God's man for that time. Now we read in chapter 23, verse 16, that Jehoiada made a covenant between him and between all the people and between the king that they should be the Lord's people. Now up to that time everything went well. And so long as Jehoiada lived, everything went well. This boy looked up to Jehoiada. Jehoiada was an aged man. He was a man fully established as the priest in Israel, and he was looked upon as the ruler of the nation, and so long as Jehoiada lived, everything went well. The downfall of Joash lay in this, that Joash followed along with Jehoiada as long as Jehoiada lived, but Joash never laid hold of the truth of God in his own soul. And consequently, when Jehoiada died, there wasn't anything in the heart and life of Joash of the things of God. He had gone along with them. He had never laid hold of them. Do you know, I believe there are a great many people like that today. Have you ever known people who have been born in families that come to the assembly and they go along in the Sunday school and sometimes they even come into the assembly? You know, it says of Joash here, we won't take time to go into all the record of it, but Joash decided to repair the temple, which the sons of the wicked Athaliah had broken up. And Joash decided to repair it. And when the work wasn't done, Joash chided the men that should have done it. And he said, how is it this work is not done? And Joash saw to it that the work was done. Why, you say, isn't he entering into the things of God? Oh, in a very outward way, yes. Not inwardly. Not inwardly. He never really laid hold of the things of God in faith. He never became a true child of God. He went along because he was under the influence of Jehoiada. And when Jehoiada died, then you find that Joash turned around through the influence of others. Joash was a person of weak character. And he was a person of weak character because he never really exercised faith in God's promises, and he never really laid hold of the precious things of God. Well now, Joash went along, so long as Jehoiada was there, and there was every reason to think, up to that point, that he was a godly king. It says he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. But it carefully adds, as long as Jehoiada lived. Because God saw that this was not in the heart of Joash, he saw it was in the influence of Jehoiada. Now look, there are young people who go to Sunday school, and when they get a little older, they come into the assembly, and perhaps they're baptized, and they remember the Lord, and then the first thing you know, well, other companions come into their lives. Now that's the downfall of Joash, was his companion. You remember that Solomon was turned aside by his many wives, and Rehoboam was turned aside by his mother, and Asa was turned aside by his grandmother, and Jehoshaphat was turned aside by his son. Well, Joash was turned aside by his companion. And we read of that in this chapter. We'll look at it again. It was in the verses that we read. You know, you can be turned aside from almost any angle. That's why we need to be constantly prayerful. We need to be really exercised in faith to want to know God's will. We need to be exercised in faith not only to know God's will, but to do it. If there was anything we learned from the life of Solomon, it is this. Wisdom will never save you. And I don't mean now in the sense of the salvation of your soul. I mean in the preservation of your life. Keeping you in the path of God. Wisdom will never preserve you in the path of God. the thing that preserves you in the path of God is obedience. It isn't what you know, it's what you do. Because many a person knows what is wrong and does it anyway. He does it because he likes it. Now you can be turned aside from what you know is right. The knowing it will not keep you. It is obedience to what you know of the will of God. Had Joash entered into a life of the obedience of faith, then when Jehoiada died and these ungodly companions came, Joash would have been in a position to say, no, I don't go your way. I'm going in the way in which I've been brought up. But he never had been going in that way, only in the outward form. It never was a reality in his soul. Joash reminds me of those people described in the parable of our Lord about the sower and the seed. You remember that which fell on shallow ground? It says, straightway it sprang up. Oh, you say, look at the light there. Isn't this wonderful? Well, everything was wonderful till the sun shone on it, and then there wasn't anything. With it up. You say, what was wrong with it? Well, the Lord tells you. He says it never took root. That's what was wrong. It never took root. He says the thing showed outward signs of life because it sprang up, but it didn't take root downward. The thing was never laid hold of in the person's soul, and consequently no life was there. And then on the first provocation, the whole thing withered up, and nothing was left. Now, you know, a person can go along and be happy and sing the hymns, and oh, yes, isn't it grand? Well, it may be. It may be. It will be if it's rooted in your soul. But it won't be if it isn't. The fact that you're brought up in an assembly like this is no guarantee of what you may have in your soul. What you have in your soul is what you lay hold of yourself. That's why the apostle says to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 16, put you like men, be strong. Take firm hold of the things of God and let them be rooted in your soul and in your life. Let them be part of your being, and then you won't be led astray, whether it's by wife or mother or grandmother or son or companions or anybody else. You won't be led astray. You'll go on in the things of God because it is rooted in your own soul. That's what Joash didn't have. Now, let me read about the death of Jehoiada, verse 15 of this chapter. It says, Jehoiada waxed old, and he was full of days when he died, 130 years. 130 years old was he when he died. And they buried him in the city of David among the kings because he had done good in Israel both toward God and toward his house. It seems to me a very significant thing that Jehoiada, who was not a king, was buried among the kings. And when Joash died, it says at the end of verse 25, they buried him in the city of David, but they buried him not in the sepulchers of the king. Joash was a king, but he wasn't buried in the kingly sepulchers. Jehoiada was not a king, but he was buried in the kingly sepulchers. Now that reminds me of what Solomon said. He said, I have seen servants on horseback, and I've seen princes on foot. You know, you can't always be guided by the outward position. You may see a man on horseback and say, oh, there's a man who's a prince. Solomon said, I wouldn't be too sure. He may have a servile heart within him. He may not be a prince at all. You can't be governed by the fact that he's on horseback. You see another man on foot and you say, oh, there goes a servant. Solomon said he may be a prince. You can't always judge by outward circumstances. Here was a man who was a king, but he wasn't buried in the sepulchers of the king. And here was another who was a priest and not a king, but he raided a kingly burial. And it seems to me that that contrast is put there to remind us that where we stand in the sight of God is not dependent on our outward position in life. You might be in a very low position in this life, and you may stand very high in the reckoning of God. And on the other hand, you may be very well thought of by men, and you may not have a standing with God, because God doesn't look on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. And so this man Jehoiada had a long life, 130 years, and when he finally died, he was buried among the kings. Now let's go on. Verse 17. After the death of Jehoiada came the princes of Judah, and they made obeisance to the king. Then the king hearkened to them. Now these people, as we learn from the next verse, were not like Jehoiada at all. As long as Jehoiada lived, Joash went along with Jehoiada. But as soon as Jehoiada died, Joash was open to these companions. What was wrong with Joash? Well, what we have said, the thing had not gripped his soul. It isn't what you know, it isn't what you hear, it's what you really grasp in faith and what you obey, what you live by. That's what really stays with you. It's your true status in the sight of God. Now it says, verse 18, the king hearkened to them, and they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers, and they served groves and idols, and wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for their trespass. Yet he sent prophets to them to bring them again to the Lord, and they testified against them, but they would not give ear. Now it says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada the priest. It was Jehoiada who had saved the life of Joash. It was Jehoiada who guided him until his kingdom was established. Now we have Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, and the Spirit of God came upon him. And it says, he said unto them, thus says God, why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord, that ye cannot prosper? Because ye have forsaken the Lord, he has also forsaken you. And they conspired against him, and they stoned him with stones at the commandment of the king in the court of the house of the Lord. Thus Joash the king remembered not the kindness which Jehoiada his father had done to him, but he slew his son. And when he died, that is Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, when he died, he said, the Lord look upon it and require it. Now here's a very interesting thing. It says the king remembered not. He remembered not the kindness of Jehoiada. And instead he slew the son of Jehoiada. And when the son of Jehoiada died, he looked up and he said, the Lord look upon it and require it. Do you know the meaning of the name Zechariah? The meaning of the name Zechariah is this: Jehovah remembers. Jehovah remembers. The king remembered not, but Jehovah remembers. And when Zechariah was dying in the courts of the house of the Lord, he said, the Lord look upon it and require it. In Matthew 23:35, the Lord Jesus said, God will require of this generation all the righteous blood shed from Abel down to Zechariah, who was slain in the courts of the house of the Lord. And do you know that 2 Chronicles is the last book of the Old Testament in the Jewish order of the canon? It was as though to say, from the beginning of the Hebrew Scriptures with the death of Abel down to the last recorded martyrdom in the book of Chronicles, which in their Bible was the last book, the Lord will require all that blood. Jehovah will remember. Jehovah did remember. And in the day of judgment, this man Joash is going to have to account for the righteous blood of Zechariah. Jehovah remembers. Now to a believer, it's a blessed thing to know that Jehovah remembers. You know, there was another Zechariah in the New Testament. and his wife was named Elizabeth. Zechariah means Jehovah remembers. Elizabeth means the oath of God. And that Zechariah was also a priest. And when he was fulfilling his ministry in the temple one day, an angel appeared to him. And he said, Zechariah, the Lord has heard your prayer, and he remembered. And he's going to send you a son, and he'll be the forerunner of Messiah. You know, to a believer, it's a wonderful thing that Jehovah remembers. But to an unbeliever, it's an intensely solemn thing that Jehovah remembers. Because, just as to that Zechariah, in the first chapter of Luke, Jehovah was remembering the oath of God. In connection with this Zechariah, the Lord is going to remember his martyrdom, and he's going to hold those accountable who committed that crime. And the scripture says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. The Lord look upon it and require it. You know, there's a great deal in the Bible about the subject of vengeance. And we're always told that vengeance doesn't belong to us. But we're told that vengeance belongs to God. And you know, God has a way of taking vengeance. People often think that they get away with things, as we say. People say, oh, I've been doing this thing for years and nothing ever happened. You don't have to worry. Well, I don't know about having to worry, but I know this. The Lord will never forget what you have done. And God has a way of bringing about vengeance. As we quoted the other night, he that rolleth a stone, it shall return upon him. And don't think that you ever do anything like this and that God forgets. Maybe the person to whom you do it isn't able to do anything about it, but God will do something about it. Now here was this boy Joash. He was by this time a young man. He reigned for 40 years. He lived to be 47. And here he was forgetting the kindness of Jehoiada and showing the grossest kind of cruelty to Jehoiada's son. And Jehoiada's son said, the Lord look upon it and require it. Well, we go on. It came to pass at the end of the year that the host of Syria came up against him. And they destroyed the princes of the people, and they took all the treasures and sent it to the king of Damascus. And it says in verse 24, the army of the Syrians came with a small company of men, and the Lord delivered a very great host into their hands, because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. So they executed judgment against Joash. And finally, the followers of Joash left him in great diseases, and an Ammonite and a Moabite conspired to murder the king Joash. Now, that isn't the end of the history of Joash, I'm sorry to say. Joash established a pattern, and there were four remaining kings between Joash and Hezekiah. And I'd like to speak briefly now about these four kings. You see, after Jehoshaphat, there was Jehoram, Ahaziah, Athaliah, and this man Joash. And then there were four more kings. There was Amaziah and Uzziah, as I call him. You come from Canada, you probably call him Uzziah, but we won't fight about that. There was Amaziah and Uzziah and Jotham and Ahaz. Now there's a connection between these kings. And to my mind, it's a very striking one. And first of all, I want to give you the point of the connection. And then I want to speak briefly about the lives of these four men. This is it. In 2 Chronicles 25:2, it says of Amaziah, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. Now I'd like you to turn, if you will, to 2 Kings 14, because we get a very interesting statement there in verse 3. It says of this same man, Amaziah, the son of Joash, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, yet not like David his father. Now notice, not like David his father, but he did according to all things as Joash his father did. Now, you can see there's the beginning of a connection. Amaziah did what was right in the sight of the Lord, but not taking David as his pattern, but he took his father Joash as his pattern. It expressly says that. Consequently, in Chronicles, you get this statement, that Amaziah did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. Why didn't he have a perfect heart? Because he took the wrong pattern. You see, the Word of God didn't say if he followed in the ways of his father. It says if he followed in the ways of David his father. But he didn't follow in the ways of David his father. He followed in the way of Joash his father. He had a poor pattern. And consequently, he was never really out and out for the Lord. That was Amaziah. Now, if you look at chapter 26, verse 4, his son was Uzziah. Now look what it says. 26:4. And he, this is Uzziah, did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah did. Now you see, Joash set a pattern for Amaziah. Amaziah set a pattern for Uzziah. Now look at the next one. In chapter 27, verse 2, the son of Uzziah was Jotham, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Uzziah did. You see how we're going down the line. Instead of taking David as the pattern, Joash set the pattern for Amaziah. Amaziah set the pattern for Uzziah. Uzziah set the pattern for Jotham. Now when you get to Jotham's son Ahaz, well, you find that he didn't do what was right in the sight of the Lord at all. By that time, you had got so far away from the pattern that he didn't pay any attention to the pattern. Now I'll tell you what I'd like to connect that with. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, you read this. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. He's the pattern. He's the one of whom David is the type. But suppose instead of looking at Jesus, you look at the early brethren. And maybe the next generation followed them. And the next generation followed them. I was talking about this one time, and a man came to me after the meeting, and he said, I'm a pattern maker. And he said, if they give me a pattern, and they tell me to make 20 copies, if I took the pattern and then made a copy, and used that copy for number 2, and used that copy for number 3, he said, by the time I made the 20th pattern, it wouldn't look anything like the original. But he said, if I take the original, and I make 20 patterns copying that, every one of the 20 will be a pretty close facsimile of the original, because everyone is patterned after the original, instead of patterning them after each other. You see, if I use the original for number 1, that'll be pretty close to the original, but number 2, patterned after number 1, won't have a perfect pattern, and it'll deviate a little more, and number 3 a little more, until when you get to number 20, you wouldn't know that it was like the first pattern at all. Now that's like Christianity. We're living in the 20th century. Now, it's the first, in the first century, they looked to Jesus, and in the second century, they looked to the first century, and in the third century, they looked to the fathers of the second century, until you get down to our day, what are we looking at? Well, it's a far cry from apostolic Christianity. Because here you've got the 20th century, each one succeeding the other, and taking the pattern of those that went before. Now, the pattern for every one of us is not the men that have gone before, thank God for them, but they're not the pattern. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. To me, that's a very striking lesson. That Joash set the pattern for Amaziah, and he set the pattern for Uzziah, and he for Jotham, and they were getting farther and farther away from the pattern until when they ended up. It says of Ahaz, he didn't follow the pattern at all. He walked in the ways of the house of Israel, and he lived an ungodly life. And it says of him, this was that king Ahaz. That was the evil of Joash's life. It was not simply that he departed from the ways of God for himself, but he set a pattern for other people. Joash was a man who was influenced by those around him. When he was under a good influence, he did what was right. No credit to him, because it wasn't from his heart by faith. It wasn't the conviction. It wasn't his own act of faith. It was simply the power of Jehoiada, and as soon as Jehoiada died, Joash was just as ready to follow those wicked companions and stone the son of Jehoiada in the very court of the house of the Lord. No credit to Joash for anything he did while Jehoiada lived. Rather, credit to Jehoiada for the influence that he had over the king. Now you see, we can't afford to be like Joash. That's why every one of us needs to get hold of the truth for ourselves. Oh, I hear people say, you know, our assembly, we hold the truth. Well, you better not rely on the assembly. You better get it in your own heart. I'll tell you, one of the greatest blessings that came to me was when I was a young man and I first began to learn the truths of the Bible, and I said to myself one day, as I heard a man expound the truth, how do you know this is true? Where do you get it? Where is it in the Bible? Suppose these men are taken away, how will I be able to explain it to somebody if they ask me? Will I just have to say, well, I heard Mr. So-and-so say it? Or can I say, look, thus saith the Lord, here it is in the Word of God. And I determined then that with God's help, I was going to try to find out the biblical source of the things we believe, so that if I were called upon to explain it, I wouldn't have to say, well, you get it in such a book or you hear it in such a lecture, but I'd be able to say, thus saith the Lord, here's the chapter, here's the verse. Let's look at it together. That was the greatest blessing I think that came into my life, because it got my feet on the rock. I got help from many men. I'm not disparaging the help of teachers. I thank God for the many able teachers from whom I benefited. But the point is, I have to make it my own. And if I do not make it my own in faith and obedience, then I do not have it. I can listen to the finest ministry that can be given in the country, and if I do not make it mine in the obedience of faith, I do not have it. And the time will come when I may be listening to something else, and I may be led far afield. But if you grip the Word of God in your own heart and mind and soul, you won't be led far afield at all. Because you've got the pattern before you. You've got the Lord Jesus before the eyes of your heart, and you have the Word of God established in your soul. Now that's what we need. Don't rely on the fact that the brethren have the truth. Well, thank God for everyone that has it, but let us see that we have it, each for ourselves. That it's in our lives that we're molded by what God says in His Word. Now let me go back. Just briefly. Amaziah did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. And we find that Amaziah, like several others of the king, was finally murdered. Now it says in chapter 26, and I'd like to point out a very interesting connection here between chapter 26 and chapter 27. It says in chapter 26 that when Amaziah died, the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old. I might pause here long enough to say that there is a very interesting study, if you'll study the lives of the boy kings. You'll find some very interesting truth. Well, this man Uzziah was 16 years old, and they made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. Now, verse 16. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God, and he went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king, and said unto him, It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but unto the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be from thine honor from the Lord God. Then Uzziah was wroth, and he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priests, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from them. Yea, he himself also hasted to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Now, let me read verses 1 and 2 of chapter 27. Jotham was 25 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Uzziah did, albeit he entered not into the temple of the Lord. Now here you have a very striking thing. Jotham, as we say, patterned his life after his father Uzziah. Now that was a far cry from a perfect pattern. Uzziah was a man who started well. He didn't walk in the ways of David, he walked in the ways of his father, Amaziah. But anyway, he started well. And as he went on in the things of God, the Lord prospered him. And then Uzziah's heart was lifted up in pride, and he decided he was going to be a priest as well as a king. And the Lord smote him with leprosy. And there's a very interesting study connected with that in Isaiah 6. And finally Uzziah died. Remember Isaiah 6 says, in the year that King Uzziah died. It's a very interesting connection. Uzziah died. His son Jotham was made king in his place. Now Jotham had taken as his pattern his father Uzziah. Jotham said, my father went into the temple and he was smitten with leprosy, so that's not for me. And it says Jotham didn't go into the temple of the Lord all the days of his life. You know what the outcome of that was? His son Ahaziah lost all interest in the things of God. And when you come to his son Ahaz, I should say, and when you come to Ahaz, you find that he not only didn't go into the house of the Lord, but he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, and he worshipped Baal, and he worshipped heathen gods as well. You see, what a letdown came in that had its origin in the life of this young king, Joash, who was governed by his companions. If we allow ourselves to be governed by our surroundings, to be governed from the outside instead of from the inside, you're on the way to spiritual disaster. You can never afford to be governed by the outside. Don't allow yourself to be governed by the opinions of men, whether they're good or bad. Don't allow yourself to be governed by the opinions of men. You let God govern you on the inside, through His Word, by the Holy Spirit. And when God governs you on the inside, through the light of His Word, applied in the power of the Spirit of God, you won't be too much concerned about the influences on the outside. If you find somebody going on in the ways of God, you'll go on with him because you have it in your heart. And if you have somebody, find somebody who is not going on in the ways of God, you won't go on with him because you have the things of God in your heart. The way to be governed in the ways of God is not by outside influences, it's by the working of God in your own soul. That's why we have to let these things take root in our own hearts. How many people grow up in the assembly and can leave it for the rest of their days simply because it was all an outward influence and it wasn't really wrought in their hearts by faith. Now, I'll admit that's rather a long lesson to go over all those chapters, but I wanted to connect Jehoshaphat with Hezekiah because tomorrow night we're going to the Lord. You know, revival sounds good, doesn't it? Well, we've been talking about departure. Solomon departed, and Rehoboam departed, and Asa departed, and Jehoshaphat departed, and Joash departed, and Amaziah, and Uzziah, and Jotham, and Ahaz, they all departed. Well, now, the Lord permitting, tomorrow night, we're going to talk about revival. We're going to talk about a man who didn't depart. We're going to talk about a man who, on the very first day that he came to the throne, started a revival. And he had one of the greatest revivals that Israel ever had. That'll be our study tomorrow night, and I hope we'll all be there. Let us look after the Lord. Gracious God and Father, again we come to Thee through the Lord Jesus. And we thank Thee for Thy holy word. We thank Thee, our Father, for the many lessons in it. Things that we need to follow, things that we need to shun. And we pray that Thou wilt help us each to give place to Thy word in our hearts and allow Thy Holy Spirit to work the truth into our lives in His convicting power. We pray that Thou wilt work in each of us, blessed God, that which is pleasing in Thy sight. And now we pray for each one here. Thou knowest our state of soul, our manner of life. We realize, our Father, that Thou art speaking to all of us in one way or another. And we ask Thee to minister a blessing to each one according to the need. And now we pray, too, for those who are absent from us. Think of the many who are sick, and we pray Thy mercies to them. And we ask, our Father, Thy healing hand upon them, as it may please Thee. And we pray for each one Thy sustaining grace. And so we commit ourselves afresh into Thy hand, as we give Thee thanks, in the name of our Lord.